This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yi. Today is our mental health clinic show. You get to ask a psychologist your questions about any mental, emotional or psychosocial issues that you're facing in your life. And joining us on the show, as always, consultant clinical psychologist Paul Jambunathan. How are you today, Paul?
Hey, feeling on top of the world.
That's
great.
Thank
you for asking.
Well, that's great to know. Always the dash of cheer that you bring on our shows, Paul.
Oh, so nice. Thank you very much for that. Great compliment.
And in contrast to that dash of cheer, we're going to be having a bit of a focus on anger today.
Something, a dash of jeer.
Something that some of us may be experiencing, anger at the situation, anger at what's going on around us. If you have questions for Paul regarding perhaps something that you're going through related to anger, but like I said, you know, this is an open clinic show about mental health issues. So if you have any questions about anything related to mental health, our lines are open, 03-7733-2900. We also have a line for WhatsApp messages, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. So, Paul, it's just the sense of what I get when I go on social media, for instance, talk to friends and people around me. There's so much anger at the situation related to the pandemic, related to the economy, related to our political situation. Now, is there actually any point in us feeling angry about so many things that are actually beyond our control?
Oh, yes, yes. Very good question in terms of, is there any point getting angry? Yes, there is a point. And the point being that your brain, your perception, your values, your morals, they don't align with what's happening at the moment. We don't align with the COVID. We don't align with the lockdown. We don't, you know, it's unnatural to us. And it is thwarting what we want to do, how we want to live. And on top of that, we have a political situation that's raising a lot of questions. The instability it's presenting, the worry that it's presenting. So all of this added threatens the individual. Actually, there's a lot of research about political anger, Shawik. It's worth looking at. If you type in political anger, if you type in sociology of anger, you'll see there's a lot of research. UM has done a lot of research in that area too. But yes, there is a fact, there is a necessity, there is a reality of anger at the moment. And it's totally understandable. It is just how we express it and to what end. There is a motive and drive for anger. It's a good emotion, you know. It's a very good emotion.
Really? Because we always say, don't get angry. You know, we always tell people, don't get angry, suppress it somehow. So why do you say it's a good emotion?
It's recognized as one of the primary and natural emotions towards survival, mainly. When you feel threatened, just take it as basic as we can. When you get threatened, one of the things we need to do to survive is to defend ourselves, either the flight or fight theory, or to stand and defend and fight yourself through a situation, you'll get angry. And that anger mobilizes you, at least physiologically. You know, you perceive anger, it goes through various parts in the brain, it goes through various brain centers. It then instigates the body to respond. It innervates muscles, it gets blood pressure going, everything starts moving and you're ready, you're defending yourself. In this case, in terms of politics, you're defending a notion, a belief that things are not going your way or not going right. The whole, perhaps the injustice of things, the whole situation that's against your values, your morals, your interests. It goes beyond political parties. It might go into policies that actually determine your own behavior, your community behavior. No, politics has become part of our identity. It is part of our identity. We vote. It is our vote, our self-interest that's expressed and that's being thwarted at the moment. So there's something blocking you, something threatening you. They're taking away something that belongs to you. Of course, you'll get angry. Try taking away a sweet from a child. Same thing. And a child throws a tantrum. But I'm not saying we are throwing tantrums in terms of our protests and stuff like that. It's far more sophisticated now. But we are making our anger known. I'm not... supporting violence, that kind of anger, but protests, writing about your anger are all part of what we call expressing your anger. Your anger needs to be expressed. And in that light, I must make a confession. I hope that everybody else raises your hand. I have been angry. I have expressed anger. I am angry at various and different situations. But I've also lost my anger. Oh, itu banyak susah to find it again. You know,
what do you mean lost your anger?
Yeah,
not now, lost your temper.
Lost your temper. Well, temper is temperament. I've lost my temperament and I've got angry. So they call it lost your temper. But when you lose your anger or your management and control over anger, you cannot get it back. Once it's gone, it's gone. It's done its damage and it's on the move already. Mm. But before it gets out, there are various ways of us dealing with the anger. I'm sure we'll get to that later on.
Mm.
But talking about the current situation, to answer your question, yes, we have a right to feel the way we feel now, and we have a right to feel angry. All of you have a right to feel angry. The question is, how and what do we do about it?
Mm. So would anger become unhealthy?
Okay, I've started off saying anger is a healthy emotional response. I stand by that. Anger can become unhealthy, especially this situation called anger in. When you suppress anger, you keep it in, it becomes a cancer. It starts eating away at you. I've been through that myself personally. A lot of anger kept in for a long time, unable to express, and it begins to eat away at you. It begins to affect you. Anger in or suppressed anger will start affecting you systemically. All your systems will go. Now, if you're angry right now, your brain goes into a different mode, okay? If you look up the psychobiology of anger, you'll see the whole psychobabble and mumbo-jumbo about it. But once it affects your brain, it begins to affect other mental and cognitive processes. You won't be able to concentrate as you normally would under calm situations or under joyful situations. So it begins to affect your perception, your attitudes, your anger, your judgment and decision-making. So many things go havoc there. Then it begins to affect your physiology as well, because signals have come from your brain that wakes up the other parts of your body. You will have adrenaline rushes. Your body gets ready for a fight or flight. Cortisol is released. And when you're always perpetually angry, these substances and these hormones that are good for your body are in excess. They begin to have negative effects on the body, and they produce things like stroke, headaches, sleeplessness, affecting your appetite, your GI system, your sexual system, your nervous system. And then so many things happen to you, blood pressure, stroke, all kinds of, including the possibility of cancer rearing its head too, because your immune system is also affected.
Is it then a good idea to let it out, right? To vent it? And we do have a question from a listener on WhatsApp. You know, like, she finds it cathartic to yell or curse at whatever she's feeling angry at, you know, and she's wondering, is it a good way for her to deal with her anger?
Well, catharsis is used by some therapists. I practice that as well. But you see, catharsis in a safe clinical situation is good. It's a controlled situation. But yelling at your child, yelling at your loved one, yelling at someone on the road, no. There's so many side effects and consequences that fall into place there. That's not good, especially yelling at kids and telling them to shut up. Well, they know next time. They've learned from you. They know next time that when they want you to keep quiet, they're going to raise their voice, get angry, and get what they want, because anger works, seemingly. So yelling or beating up a rubber doll or, you know, beating up a chair using a paper baton and things like that are good under controlled situations. But expressing anger appropriately is a learnt behavior. And that is what I totally support all the time.
All right. So let's talk about expressing anger. When we come back from the break, I'm speaking to consultant clinical psychologist Paul Jambunathan. It's our mental health clinic show. And you can call us at 03-7733-2900 to ask Paul any questions, or if you'd like to share any experiences regarding mental health related issues, you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're talking about anger today because I guess that is the sentiment among a number of people due to the situation that we're living in. But whatever issues, social, emotional, or psychological issues that you're going through, do call us. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoik, and my guest, consultant clinical psychologist, Paul Jambunathan. It's our Ask a Psychologist show, and our lines are open for you to call us with any questions or experiences you'd like to share related to mental health issues or emotional issues. 03-7733-2900 is the number to call, or text us at 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Paul J is here. We have been talking about anger, Paul, and something I'm really getting from you is, number one, you said anger is a natural, healthy emotional response when a situation or a person thwarts something that, is against your values, that is not in line with your values, your needs, or your desires, or your interests. Now, how we express it, and that's the second key thing I'm getting from you. How we express anger is the thing that's going to make a difference. But before we get to sort of like the different, or rather healthy ways to express perhaps, or how we can learn to manage it, I've been curious why some people seem to express anger differently from others. We say that some people are more even-tempered, we say that some people are more hot-tempered. What accounts for these differences?
I'll start off responding to the possibility of just two kinds of situations. One is a biophysiological situation. Some of us are what we call hot reactors. Our body reacts to our perceptions very, very quickly, to our thoughts, perceptions very quickly. I might respond faster than you in terms of my blood pressure changes, my heart rate, my breathing rate, my muscle twitching and things like that. So, and some of us react that way. Our mind then perceives those bodily changes and our mind says, oh, we must be angry. So we are angry. And then we start reacting that way. Now, on the flip side is purely psychological. Our readiness to get angry and where we are on the scale of being at the tipping point is also another issue. What we have learned, how to respond, and our particular circumstance at the moment will determine how angry you are and at what stage of responsiveness you are. So when you get the stimulus, it may not be the biggest thing in the world, but because you are at a certain stage of anger, your boiling point is near, your tipping point is nearby, and bang, you just flip and you get angry. So one is psychological readiness, physiological readiness, and the other one is psychological readiness to take you beyond the tipping point and determine how you actually express it.
All right. So, there's anger and then there's aggression. Are they the same things?
Are different. You can be angry and express it aggressively. You can be angry and then you express it passively. You can be angry and you can suppress it. But anger is an issue that's covert. It's an internal process, totally internal process. But when anger begins to be expressed, that's when it becomes, you can see it overtly. It can come out as aggressive. So behavior, aggressive responses, aggressive reactions. So anger is an emotion that's silent and within. Aggression is an expressed emotion, a behavior, an action, something that can be seen and measured even.
So something like road rage,
right?
That's anger expressed aggressively?
Right, or beating up your child or your wife or your partner or killing somebody, or we just heard raping somebody maybe. But yes, anger drives, and how it's expressed is whether it's aggressive, peaceful, etc., etc.
So, a few things have been happening recently where I reckon it is an expression of people's anger towards issues. We had the doctors' strike, the contract doctors' strike. You know, we've seen a rally take place last weekend. And there were no reports, at least, or to my knowledge, of violence coming out of these incidents or these events. So it, are those, would you say that those were incidents where anger was expressed passively or peacefully?
It depends, Shawik, on several factors. One factor is the political system and the policy of the national policy on terms in terms of how do we protest and show our anger or dissatisfaction. Now, that'll be a national law against that, or national conduct guidelines. If we are angry with something, angry with a policy, how do we express ourselves? Then you also have your cultural norms, how we've been brought up. Your culture could be an individual culture, could be a racial culture, it could be a religious culture, it could be a kampung culture, whatever it is. But you, your cultural aspects of how you deal with anger, whether anger is okay and how do you express it, that, that also comes into play. Then we have your levels of dissatisfaction. Now, for instance, like I know for instances, real instances, where doctors have actually written in personally to say, I'm not happy with the situation. I know groups of doctors who have then said, we are going to write in as well. So can you see the stages? Then they take it to the next level, next level, next level. So they are already progressively dissatisfied and unhappy. Now, that happens everywhere, politically, road rage, everywhere it happens, even at home. There are different levels of dissatisfaction that happen along the way. And then you're tipped. Now, what do I do when I'm really, really angry and no one's heard me, no one's listened to me, they've not replied me? Oh, yo, my goodness. Okay, I want my voice and my action to be heard. Mm-hmm. And then you start following the laws of the country and saying, now this is what I can do. Or you stand there and scream in the middle of the street, get arrested, you face the consequences of that, et cetera, et cetera. So these things come into play when you decide to protest. But let's not ignore the various levels of internal and external dissatisfaction that occurs and is real. So you build one level higher upon the previous level, which has not been resolved. Not resolved, it festers, begins to mature, and it provides options and further fuels your upward-trended anger.
All right. Now, we have a question from Russell, who's asking, what's the psychological link between meritocracy, competency, and ego?
Well, I feel like I'm in my final exam here, this one. It's classic. Ego is very psychodynamic. Okay, ego is the personal drive and your personal perception of who you are, what you are, and how that's going to dominate everything that you do. Meritocracy is purely the belief in a system that rewards how good you are at what you do. And what's the other one, Sherry?
Competency.
Competency is your self-perception. Two aspects to competency. One is your self-perception of how good you are at what you do. And the other one is how people perceive your abilities of how good you are at what you do. So you can have high self aspects of competency where others mark you down, unfortunately. But if when these two match, of course, it's a happy situation. So these three are different things.
Is there a psychological link then?
Well, the only psychological link I can see is the person themselves is involved. The individual is involved in their own ego status, their ability to express their competency, and then you're dependent on external parties to award you the merit.
All right. Keep those questions coming in. 03-7733-2900 is the number to call. Or if you'd like to text, it's 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. So when it comes to knowing how to draw that line in expressing our anger, then Paul, because suppressing it is unhealthy, but right. When it gets to aggression, violence, abusive behavior, is also unhealthy. It is actually, it has bad repercussions on the person and those around them. So how do we, first of all, how do we actually learn to manage anger and to express it healthily?
Well, it's important to learn the anatomy of anger. Now, the anatomy of anger is just breaking it down into its mechanical processes. There is a trigger that actually gets you to express your anger. Whatever level of anger you are at, doesn't matter. But that's a trigger. And then there's the explosion, the expression of the anger. The whole expression of it takes you down to a resolution. And then maybe afterthought. Now, there are many different aspects towards this many different takes towards this anatomy or this mechanism of anger. But generally, this is what happens. There is a trigger. You get upset. You express it. And then you people respond to it. There's a consequence to it. And then it's the aftermath. You sit down and think about it and say, oh, yo, why did I get so angry? That kind of stuff. And you know, in terms of domestic violence and abuse, people get caught in the cyclical thing and it's very, very hard to break. That's what we look at, breaking that cycle. However, what we need to do is to learn to understand our anger response and identify triggers before you get to the explosion stage. It's fine. Huh? Listen, I kept telling you in the beginning, I confessed, it's okay for everybody to get angry. It's a good thing. It actually gives you insight about your own status, your own value systems, what you believe in, what you're interested in, what you desire. When you see some injustice on the roadside, you get angry in your own car. That's because it's affected your value system. Good. I'm happy it made you angry. Things make you happy on the road too. But it's an opportunity for you to now say, oh, this is who I am. I'm getting angry with situations like this. Why do I get angry? But that all goes to the psycho philosophy of things. But to understand that trigger is to slow down your responses and begin to look at yourself. That's the key. That's the key to all kinds of anger programs, to begin to identify the trigger and rely on feedback from people to say, this is what's triggering you, buddy. Now, we also have people who don't identify triggers and who spontaneously explode, okay, without any notice. And that's people who have become disinhibited with a lot of suppressed anger. Disinhibition, like, you know, say, control your temper, control your anger, shall we? People are inhibited. That's good. That's culturally appropriate and desired behavior. We inhibit ourselves. We, you know, look after how we behave culturally. But when you have disinhibitions like substances, like various medicines, or I suffered an episode where medicines clashed and so totally disinhibited my emotional responses. And it gave rise to a lot of repressed and suppressed anger. Now, when people are caught in this kind of substance abuse cycle, that is another thing altogether, because parts of our brain are geared to look after that kind of behavior, inhibiting behavior, analyzing behavior. Now, if you're on substances and various kinds of medicines that actually don't allow you to practice conscious inhibition to prevent disinhibition, then you are in trouble because you're not conscious of your behavior. Now, that needs a medical response. That one requires medical responses. Mm. But if you're conscious, all we need to do is to identify triggers regularly.
But it's not as easy as saying, okay, I know the trigger, and so I must tell myself to calm down. It's not that simple, is it?
It's not that simple. It takes time and it takes practice. And that is why we always suggest, if you have a problem with anger, you may not know you have a problem. Some people do, actually. But if you have a problem with anger, if people have been telling you have a problem with anger, then it's time for you to do something, because then you know that it's becoming unacceptable. Anger is acceptable, but your kind of expression of anger is becoming unacceptable. Time to act. You're right. It's easier said than done, but it can be done. People do it regularly. Courts send people to clinics for anger management and things like that. It's a famous movie, isn't it? A really funny one. Something to do with anger and anger management, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do want to touch a little bit on that later, right? What exactly happens in anger management? You know, I picture it, like you said earlier, where
cathartic.
It's in a control environment, you get to bash the heck out of things. But, you know, I need the professional insight for that. We'll go for a quick break. And when we come back, we can touch a little bit more if there's anything else that you can share about learning how how to manage your expression of anger. We have a question as well to get to from a listener and a little bit about on anger management therapy. But do keep your questions coming in. 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back with consultant clinical psychologist Paul Jambunathan, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik, and my guest, consultant clinical psychologist, Paul Jambunathan. It's our mental health clinic show, open clinic. So do call in with your questions, 03-7733-2900 or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. If you have questions or if you'd like to share anything, what are you feeling angry about? Because we are discussing the topic of anger today. Paul, let me get to a question from a listener. He says, he or she says, so suppressed anger and other emotions get into your subconscious and it explodes when you yourself least expect it. So how do you get into your subconscious then?
By, well, one good way is to reflect within yourself and to reflect with somebody else over various situations that upset you. We're talking about only negative situations here. Things you perceive as negative situations, things like things that provoke negative behavior, negative thoughts. Okay. Now, the best way is reflection. That's the best way. Now, if you have people that you trust, people that you rely on, people within your primary circle, you know, primary environment, rely on their feedback too. That this is when you're getting angry. These are the signals we see. This you tend to get louder. You tend to speak faster. You tend to pace and walk up and down. You don't sleep enough. You know, your language, your choice of words changes. Now, all these things are good indicators of anger. Good indicators, really, of emotional change. Okay? So you can have covert emotional cognitive changes, and you can also have things that other people can notice. Mm. And people who are with you most of the time, especially places like work and home, or even regular sports groups, they will be able to monitor you. And everyone's monitoring everybody all the time. That's what provides a comfort zone.
Sports is a great situation, right? Where somebody could easily get triggered.
Oh, yes, yes. You're so invested. Whenever you're over invested in something and something thwarts you or somebody fouls you or someone scores a goal against you or gets a point against you, of course, you feel threatened, ma. Must respond. Take them out. Kill them. Break their hand. Oh, I tell you, you can go ahead, Bob.
All right. So, you know, in the interest of preventing people from doing just that, kill them, break your hand or whatever. Before the break, we were talking about learning ways to manage how we express that anger. Was there anything else that you wanted to add to sort of like, you know, that process that we can go through?
Now, I don't advocate the fact that you think of the mind and body separately. But in this instance, I'd like to present it to you so you can process it in an easier manner. Mentally, there are things that you can engage in, and physiologically, you can engage in too. It might be more difficult for some to engage in mental or cognitive restructuring, as we call it in our terms. Cognitive restructuring means changing the way you think and process things. But it might be more difficult to do that than to control your physiology of anger. So what we teach a lot of people to do is when they are angry, control your physiology first, because you can easily see responses and outcomes of being, I'm in control. I'm not losing control with my anger response. And being in control is one of the best things any human being desires. You know, they look for being in control, especially of themselves. And once you're in control of your physiology, and that involves things like blood pressure, breathing, muscle tension, and things like that, then you begin to feel in control. The feedback to your brain is also controlled, and everything has dropped 1, 2, 3, 10 levels even. And that's why we teach relaxation or breathing as quickly as possible. The old adage, if that's the right word for it, you know, when you're angry, count to 10. When you're very angry, count to 100. Mm. It slows down your physiology.
So it's and true.
And even when we say, spell it out, I mean, talk about 1, 2, don't think it, 3, your breathing starts to become regulated as you count. and your physiology starts changing. You'd be amazed at how your lungs are connected with your kidneys, through the blood and nervous system, and how that affects the adrenaline rush and how you actually calm down. Mm. And then you feel the sense of control. Okay, now you can tease out the emotion. You're in a better place to tease out the emotion and work out your emotional stuff. How do you do that? For that, you need to develop an emotional vocabulary. What is the level and the expansive nature of your emotional vocabulary? Do you know enough words to express yourselves, the differences between anger, frustrated, tired maybe, disorientated, distrust? So many little things that can all contribute to anger or are synonyms of anger that we use every day, very interchangeably. Mm. But emotional vocabulary is also an important thing in any language, in any language. So if you're sitting with a therapist, one of the things we will teach you to do is to understand the anatomy of anger, to understand your expression of anger in terms of your emotional vocabulary, and how to start taking control of your body first. And you need to practice that. A key thing, of course, is to maintain a journal for yourselves and for the person you're working with.
So that is a process that takes place in, say, if you go for anger management therapy?
Yes. Now, where your anger is coming from and how it needs to be resolved is something else altogether. Okay, now we're just managing the response of anger. The source of anger has to be another problem-solving kind of step. If I'm angry with you, Shaoik, and I've never told you properly because I don't know how to tell you, or I'm using the wrong words and we're constantly clashing, yes, I'll go and deal with my anger problem because BFM have told me, Paul, your anger is too much. Please go and get it dealt with. Brilliant. I go to see the psychologist. They'll teach me how to control my anger. But how do I control Shaoik? So then I've got to start developing ways of identifying what the problem is and then seeking problem solving. Now, that involves maybe marital counseling, maybe friendship and our clash of values, maybe the structural reorganization, maybe the policies at parliament. It all depends.
So much we can't control, though.
Yes. Now, for that, there's a Plato, I think it was Plato, who said there are two things a person should never be angry at. Two things you must never be angry at. What they can help and what they cannot. True, isn't it?
It's everything.
It's almost. No, but there's a lot of in between, shall we? If you cannot change anything, why are you getting angry? Mm. You should realize that you cannot change everything. And there's no point in getting angry. If there's a traffic jam, I cannot change it. There is no point in me getting angry. Be angry with yourself for not leaving earlier. Be angry with yourself for not anticipating this traffic jam. But you don't get angry at the traffic. You cannot change that traffic jam. If there's something you can do, don't get angry with it either, because it's within your powers to change something. But don't try and change something with anger or via anger. That's wrong. Mm.
So I just want to share some feedback from Nini, who messaged in to say that her way of dealing with anger is to focus on the breath with a chant of her choice, with preferably two vowels. That's interesting.
Very good. Now, why two vowels? I mean, of course, they're meaningful vowels. But why two vowels? Vowels are not just internal or nun, because it's internal. But when you use a vowel, R-E-O-I-A, you're actually expressing air from your system. And so you are expressing air, you're bringing out air, you need to breathe in again. And she's very right. That's a good technique. Now, what we will do is we will help people practice a range of techniques, and you work with what works best for you. Different things work for you at different times and in different situations.
You know, I don't get why we have to struggle so much to learn this and only learn these coping techniques when we get into problems with anger. Why can't we teach kids this, for instance? And, that's where you get well-regulated adults.
Yeah. Well, you probably hit the nail on the head here, shall we? Because where do children and where do we learn our anger from? Anger is learnt. It's an internal response to a large degree when you feel physically and biologically threatened. But a lot of it is learnt. We learn anger at home. We even learn anger as kids from cartoons. There's a lot of violence in cartoons, you know, Popeye the Sailor Man, even the little chipmunks running around. There's a lot of violence.
Nobody watches Popeye the Sailor Man anymore.
No, my time, okay. But even now, you look at the cartoons that
dish, pow, a lot worse.
In fact, it's a lot worse than before, you're right. Now, we learn it at home. And now, hold on. Not just the TV, you know. We have models around us that teach us how to express our emotions without words. And those are our fathers, mothers, are the people we live with, our maids or domestic help. Now, we are living with models. So whenever we talk about teaching children anger, I immediately change the focus to parents. And you'll see this in the research. How are you modeling anger management or anger control or anger regulation? So that's an important, you're right. It's nurture to a very, very, very high degree.
All right. Any final message from you, Paul, for us to take away on this topic?
Yes. I mean, I looked up this thing and I remembered this when I was in clinical school. I would like to end with a couple of quotes, a very nice quotes. Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is in rather than to anything that it is poured on. Do you get that? Mm-hmm. It does more harm to you internally. Mm-hmm. Mark Twain said that. Now, Aristotle went on to say, I love this one, anger can become, anybody can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, and at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, that is the trick. That is not within everybody's power, and it is well and easily learned. So my message to you all is to don't go through anger alone. Share it and work with it.
All right. Thank you so much, Paul. I've been speaking to Paul Jambunathan, consultant clinical psychologist for our Mental Health Clinic show. This has been Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.